My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Collective Cafe to Go. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show.
The Collective Cafe is a virtual coffee experience which takes place every single Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Start your day off on the right foot, on the front foot, as you get ready for work. We talk business, marketing, entrepreneurship with live book reads and open mic sessions.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Follow me. Follow at Jaffe Juice on social media. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Collective Cafe to Go wherever you get your favorite podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Robert Pasikoff.
Customers are six times more likely to give you, the brand, the benefit of the doubt in what we call uncertain circumstances. It means that when something goes wrong, there is an emotional backfill, and some of it is a rationalization as well. We acknowledge, but people are just not willing to walk away from the brand as bad as things get.
Robert Pasikoff is a thought leader who has pioneered work in loyalty and emotional brand engagement, creating the Customer Loyalty Index, the Loyalty Leaders List, and the Sports Fan and Fashion Brand Indices. He's the founder and president of Brand Keys and author of Predicting Market Success, The Certainty Principle, and the upcoming book, Loyalty Ain't What It Used to Be. New York University's Communication School declared Dr. Pasikoff the most quoted brand consultant in the United States, and he is our guest this week on the On Brand podcast. Robert, welcome to On Brand.
Nick, it is my pleasure.
So I am excited to chat because the first thing I listed off in your illustrious bio there is the Customer Loyalty Engagement Index, and the new version or the new latest release of this this list just came out within a couple of weeks. Yes,
I think last Monday actually. It's our 25th annual survey.
So tell folks, give the elevator pitch for what we're looking at with the Customer Loyalty Engagement Index.
We started doing the index 25 years ago because we recognized how important loyalty was going to be to brand development and brand profitability in the coming years. We added engagement to the title and to the analytics because the decision process regarding brands has become far more emotional than it is rational, and we wanted to be able to account for that in terms of how people behave toward brands.
That's interesting because that's, you know, beyond just setting up what the index is for our audience. I wanted to tease some of that out about the name because it is interesting because, you know, we talk about customer loyalty all the time. We talk about engagement
but combining them. And I like that you mentioned beyond just the name, the analytics. So what kinds of things does it look at, or what are some of the, I don't want to say the contrasts between loyalty and engagement, maybe the complements, the extensions, the interactions of those two?
It's gotten pretty complex if you really do a deep dive into what loyalty is about these days. Engagement, the way we talk about it, we talk about it as emotional engagement, is essentially how well does a brand meet the expectations of the consumer that they hold for a category. And the ability to be able to measure those expectations has to go well beyond just as many brands online and on sites, you know, ask, have we exceeded your expectations? Because the truth is that most brands don't really have a fix on what people expect. And we're seeing vast changes, vast chasms between what people desire and what brands are seen to deliver.
So is there anything that I feel like this is stark imagery, but when you've got these vast chasms, is there anything jumping out of what consumers are looking for that they're not getting from brands?
Well, a lot of I think the answer is yes and no. I mean, some of it has to do with because the decision process is almost these days almost completely emotional rather than dependent on primacy of product. You know, product attributes, service attributes, and things like that. The understanding that people want more than what is being delivered is an opening for brands to be able to do innovation, to look to areas that they need to research in order to understand why people are not seeing that they're delivering in a way that they'd best expect. I mean, I think that if you take a look, you know, the COVID, God help us, you know, COVID, we've got to deal with, you know, we've been dealing with this for 2 years now. But it's the kind of thing that if you take a simple, you know, something that people are used to and I think just generally you kind of accept, you know, if you take a look at airlines, for example, safety and security was something that people were always concerned with. But generally speaking, the way that it kind of set itself up in the real world and in the rational thought process was you get on the plane takes off, the plane doesn't fall out of the sky, the plane lands relatively on time, and if no one sneaked the gun on, you know, you were ahead of the, you know, you were ahead of everything. I mean, that ultimately that was what security looked like. And now add COVID to the mix and just stop and think about what's been going on airplanes. I mean, take a look at, you know, that every day there's someone that's fighting about something, that there are fist fights, that people are attacking the in-plane staff. I mean, this comes from a lack of understanding of what people really expect, and maybe, you know, this is the larger example, the more raw example that I can give you. But the fact is that the expectation gap between what people want and what people see brands delivering exists, and the ability to be able to fulfill expectations, I'm going to say best, always identifies category leaders. I make that plural because you really start to get hard pressed on just meeting expectations as a yardstick for loyalty. Amazon does real well. Walmart.com does real well. There are nuanced differences between who ranks number one and who ranks number two. Generally speaking, the correlations that we see are very, very high in terms of how people are evaluating brands as meeting their expectations against the things that drive behavior in a category. I apologize for blathering on.
No, not at all. Yeah. It's incredibly fascinating. You brought up COVID and customer engagement. Certainly, like you said, it seems impossible to talk about it. I'm sure at some point in history this will become, a thing in our past. But it's sort of all encompassing. Right now, but I think it's a real concern for brands. But you have some interesting data in the index about some of the benefit of the doubt extended towards brands. Talk a little bit about that.
It's part of the rule of six that we've identified. What we know is that. Loyal customers, the higher the level of emotional engagement that a customer has for a brand, they are going to be six times more likely to do very good things for the brand. And the one that you have, things like they're going to buy you, they're going to buy more of your product, they'll buy other aligned products that your brand offers, they'll buy stock in publicly traded companies. But the one that I love the best, because it proves itself out all the time, is that customers are six times more likely to give you, the brand, the benefit of the doubt in what we call uncertain circumstances. It means that when something goes wrong, there is an emotional backfill. And some of it is a rationalization as well. We acknowledge, but people are just not willing to walk away from the brand as bad as things get. The best example I can give, partly because it just timed out in terms of the rule of six, was Chipotle years ago when they had the salmonella. Issue. I mean, this is an issue of this comes down to what is it you expect? And I just wrote something for someone where I go, the thing is brands really understand what people don't expect. Because people don't expect to go into a Mexican themed, quick serve restaurant and eat food and get sick. And I'm not making light of it, but
right.
No one does that. You don't expect that to happen. So when it did happen, it was something bad. It wasn't just, not that one person would be okay, but it was many hundreds of people that got sick. Now you would turn around and go, well, I went in, I got sick, I'm not going back there. But people did. And they did it after the second series of food poisoning, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth. And then at the seventh, the stock plummeted, and they were down by 75%, and no one was going into the store. One of the things we talk about loyalty as a 21st century paradigm is, loyalty doesn't mean you're just going to be with this company forever. You're not. But your well of forgiveness, if you will, isn't bottomless, but it's pretty deep. And therefore, it, when when a brand, when an airplane brand, I mean, we saw this actually, I think Delta is a good example, because they were and have been ranked, you know, generally in the top three brands in terms of loyalty for years now. I think they're number one this year. That while brands were struggling to figure out what to do about COVID and how to handle things, because there was no handbook, you know, the brand handbook of COVID out there, people who were loyal were willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. They didn't totally walk away. And you see that all the time.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Collective Cafe To Go. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show.
The Collective Cafe is a virtual coffee experience, which takes place every single Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Start your day off on the right foot, on the front foot, as you get ready for work. We talk business, marketing, entrepreneurship with live book reads and open mic sessions.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Follow me. Follow at Jaffe Juice on social media. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Collective Cafe To Go wherever you get your favorite podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show.
This is the 25th anniversary of the Customer Loyalty Engagement Index. And one thing that you've highlighted is brands that have been rated number one for a decade or more. And there's some that we've talked about, noting folks like Amazon, Netflix, Google, but also Discover, Domino's, Dunkin', Konica Minolta. In looking at these brands that have risen to this level for so long and so consistently, is there anything that jumps out that we can learn from in generating, again, something closer to, if not bottomless, at least long running there?
I think that there is, and I think that there's a pattern that we've identified. I'm going to, just for a moment, it was Winston Churchill who said, you know, the farther back you're able to look, the farther forward you're able to see. And I think that the review that we've done, 25 years and, 4.5 million respondent, and analytics that we've got, have allowed us to see something that I think is going to rule for the next decade, maybe even two decades. And that's something that we're calling value ownership. It's something that we see as replacing differentiation. Jack Trout, who, the creator of positioning, was a good friend of ours, and he said, you differentiate or die. You were either able to show something that set you apart as a brand, or you were just going to be out there, competing among, 100 other brands. Now, that differentiation was, it started out being very rational stuff back in the 50s and 60s when everything was new and products were developing. And so a rational aspect could be leveraged. It got more imageic and it got more emotional as time went on. But now there's real difficulty in being able to say, why is this brand doing better than another? And when we do the analytics for brands like a Discover, like Hyundai, like Home Depot, I mean, to mention some of the brands that have been number one in their category for decades, it all has to do with their ability to own a particular value. I mean, our metrics correlate very, very highly with how consumers behave positively toward a brand, and I guess axiomatically, if I behave better toward this brand, and so do a million other people, the brand ought to do better, assuming no egregious, mismanagement. But what we're seeing is that everyone, in the same way that they learned about satisfaction, in the 80s, the satisfaction movements and the ISO 9000s and re-engineering and things like that, is that a lot of people are pretty much doing good jobs in product delivery and such, but now the customers are looking for brands that own a particular value. I commented before. You've got Amazon and you've got Walmart.com, and they both do what they do in terms of online retail. But Amazon always does better. And the reason for it is that Amazon owns the value of immediate gratification. It isn't that there aren't online retailers that can deliver overnight, because the expectation, by the way, has gotten to the point where you expect it overnight. It isn't that these people are doing immediate returns for you. Everyone's doing that. And those become process and rational aspects. But the sense that I am immediately gratified because I go through Amazon is a value that another brand can't beat. I mean, we see it with Hyundai did it years ago during the recession. When they turned around, I say it's altruism, but they turned around, and what was the biggest worry that people had when they lost their jobs and they had no money and the banks were going bust? And the answer was, I'm going to lose my car. And Hyundai turned around and went, you know what? Don't worry about it. You can't pay. Don't worry. You want to bring the car back? Bring the car back. We're not going to go after you.
It's interesting in thinking about long-term loyalty, engagement, and also the brand, because specific to your last point, there's lots of places where you can get what Amazon, what any of these folks do, but the way in which they do it and the way they... Again, this is where there's some sort of line, and maybe it's less visible than I think of, where the brand that they're building comes into play, because it's really hard when they have flipped the dynamic and kind of created their own
I don't want to say their own category, but, you know, within that, they almost have, or that's what they've built their brand around. Again, I feel like I'm chasing my tail trying to describe what's happening.
You're right on. I mean, this the issue about loyalty and expectation and emotion. You know, there's a certain Moebius strip sense to it, but you're dead on, Nick, because it may not be another category, but what it is an ownership of value and, not price value, an emotional value, a sense of who the brand really is. I mean, not to presume anything, I listened to what some of the stuff that you've had out there. You know, we're like big protagonists regarding that there's a big difference between entertainment and engagement. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that are entertaining the hell out of people. But the brands really aren't engaging people, and that becomes the real acid test for brands. One of the things that when we talk about expectations and expectation growth, some of it is fueled by some very smart people, smart brands and smart people working at the brands. But, I used to say, when there was a time when we could actually get in front of an audience, when you flew someplace to talk right. in front of a conference. One of the things is I say to people, you all travel, you all go to a hotel. Think about the time you came back from dealing with clients or, whatever you were dealing with that day. And you went back to your hotel and all you wanted to do was relax. And you went into your room and lo and behold, there was something on your pillow and it was a little chocolate. And you thought to yourself, my God, that's really nice. Let me eat this now. And I did. But then someone said, well, you know what? We're going to give you a cookie. And then next we're going to give you a warm cookie. And next we're going to give you a warm cookie and cold milk. I mean, the point is that your expectation while you were thrilled with the chocolate.
Right.
Now, not so much. I mean, there's the other thing. I mean, what we call the Zappification of America. I mean, millennials, I'm not picking on millennials. Millennials are just too young to remember. You know, there was a time when if you went to a department store and you bought something and you didn't like it and you wanted to return it, you had to take it back to the store. And if you had it shipped to you, you paid for shipping. And if you had to send it back, you paid for shipping to send it back. And Zappos, very smartly, there's a behavioral aspect to the decision, but they went, buy as many shoes as you want, we'll pay for it. You don't want whatever you want to return, we'll pay for it. And now your expectation, I will bet a lot of money. You got to be honest with me, Nick, but I'll bet you a lot of money. Anyone wants to take this bet with me that when you go online or you go to buy something and now they go and the shipping's going to be, there's a piece of you. You may not turn you off from making the purchase because you may want the product. But there's a bit of you that goes, what the hell is this? No one else charges me to have this thing delivered. And that's, and therein lies the aspect of expectation. And it's also something that we've come to say that, expectations are like oil spills. I mean, categories are categories unto themselves, but expectations seep, they're not they're not constrained into just, hey, just the shoe category is the only one that's doing, you know, free delivery, free return. It's every place eventually. And you know, and that's why, you know, consumers are mostly human beings most of the time. I mean, they're only consumers a part of the time. I mean, you know, brands, you know, I mean, it's what we do for a living. So we expect that people are spending as much time as we are thinking about brands. But that really isn't the case.
Yeah.
And the issue of emotion and expectation has become the shorthand, the shorthand for it. Because engaging a consumer with your brand has become tougher than ever before. I mean, awareness, easy peasy. No problem. You can create awareness like nothing. But engagement is not easy at all.
Yeah. Well, as you said, smart brands, and we've heard about a lot of smart brands from you, but now it's time for us to ask for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Okay. I want to be absolutely clear about the brand that made me smile recently was Apple TV Plus. And it was based on a commercial that they're running with John Hamm, talking about all of the famous people who are on Apple TV, you know, starring on Apple TV, and he is not, and he is envious. And I will tell you why. I mean, I made the distinction before about the difference between entertaining and engaging. I mean, a lot of people mistake, you know, imagery for engagement. You know, the fact is that the best combination you can have is something that is both entertaining and engaging. But I'll settle just for engaging. But in this case, I watched through the lens of the brand guy, and I go, that was so funny, and it was so smart, because you got to know that they did their study, and they went, you know, nobody knows that we have all these stars on Apple Plus TV. Can we figure out a way to let people know? And I think they did a great job. So not only do I smile, I give them a gold star.
Awesome. Well, that is a great smile. Robert, where can we send folks to learn more about the index and your other findings?
We are online at brandkeys.com. If you reach out on the contact sheet, we can put you on our brand keynote list. We send out findings of studies and some thought pieces a couple times a month. That's where we are. That's where we've been.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Robert, thanks for being on brand with us.
Nick, thank you so much for the opportunity.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile with engagement and loyalty, remember you can express that via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Collective Cafe to Go. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show.
The Collective Cafe is a virtual coffee experience, which takes place every single Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Start your day off on the right foot, on the front foot, as you get ready for work. We talk business, marketing, entrepreneurship with live book reads and open mic sessions.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Follow me. Follow at Jaffe Juice on social media. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Collective Cafe to Go wherever you get your favorite podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.